Hello everyone, welcome to the July 18th BC Edu Task Force call. Today's topic is about the JFF BC Edu Plugfest number 2. And why don't we get started with some of our boilerplate stuff and announcements, and then we have Sharon Liu here with us to help us walk through what is going to happen, what the plans are for Plugfest 2, and to start gathering your questions so that we can and get back to you with some answers. Okay, first, IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. Everyone is welcome. However, all substantive contributions to any CCG work items, even outside of the BC Edu, should be done by members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. To do this, you first should join W3 and make sure you have an account. And then you can use this link to join the CCG. So I joined the CCG and having computer problems. There we go. Join the CCG and read the agreement. Okay, second, these calls are recorded, both audio and video. Today we're only really going to have audio. I don't think we'll have any slides to present. We're also using the chat. You're going to see that also we are transcribing this. We have a robot transcriber that does the best that it can. You can fix it if you see something that it doesn't understand to help it learn. If you see a term that is incorrect, you can do a substitution. So you can type /, the wrong word, and then the correct word, as I'm putting in the chat right now. Also, we use the queue system on these calls. So if you're new to these calls, how that works is that you put a Q+ in the chat to add yourself to the queue. And then if you decide you no longer want to speak, you put Q-. And then what we do is we check the queue and we go in the order that folks are queued up. Okay, let's start with some introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone that's new to the call today that would like to introduce themselves? If so, you can cue yourself up. And I'll make the same call out for any reintroductions or updates on work that anyone's doing, any changes, or anything you'd like to fill us in on. Here's your opportunity to do so. Marty, you're in the queue. Take the floor.
Yeah, so only because Dan Blickensdorfer from Quant Ed Tech announced it on LinkedIn, but the OB3 and CLR 2.0 work groups have voted for to move to candidate final for the for both the specs. So there's a security review that has to be done and some internal work at One Ed Tech, but then we should expect to see a candidate final public out there, I'm going to say mid-August. So
that's great. Thank you for giving us that update, Marty. Hey, one question I have in terms of the conversations we're having with the Plugfest today. For Plugfest number 1, we used a specific context file so that we could stay away from any changes that were happening in the meantime. But would you say the context file for OBV3 is steady enough to use now?
I would say once the internal review has been done and the candidate final has been announced publicly, then yes.
Okay. We'll figure out how to navigate that.
So I think generally speaking, yes, the spec that is out there right now is stable.
Okay. They're very close, everyone, in case you're wondering. They're very similar. So it's not that big of a deal. I was just curious about that.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty. John, you're in the queue.
Hi, yes. My name is John Marquez. I'm really looking forward to learning today. my background, I'm currently CTO at Fathom PBC. I'm implementing a verifiable credential wallet with Fathom, and I'm just really here to soak up as much information as I can and kind of get in where I fit in.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'm making some corrections in the chat for the transcriber. Okay, I will start that. All right. Anyone else here? Okay, Dimitri, you have the floor.
So just to double check, are we going to have a separate announcement section, or is this joint introductions and announcements?
This is just introductions and reintroductions,
okay.
But I can start announcements right now, and then we can move on to that.
Okay.
You can go first if you'd like, since you already have the floor.
All right. So quick announcement. So rebooting Web of Trust conference, which is a really cool on conference where you collaborate with others to write a paper at the end of the conference that gets published. So rebooting Web of Trust is happening in late September in the Netherlands this year. So the reason I bring it up is that the early advanced paper discount, the date is tomorrow, I think, on the 19th. So if you're planning to attend the conference, please consider writing a paragraph of two or two of an advanced paper and submitting it for a discount on the tickets. That's it.
Dimitri, could I ask you a question about that?
Sure, yeah.
How final does the advanced paper need to be? If it was, say, it was submitted tomorrow as a draft, could it be worked on later?
Yes, correct. That's right. Yeah, so they're not looking for, you know, like print-ready paper. It's definitely what you described.
All right, good to know. Thank you. Kalia, you have the floor.
I'm muted. Hi. I wanted to share about three events we have coming up in August. Last summer we did this as well. The Internet Identity Workshop is hosting two special topic events. One is August 4th called The Business of SSI, really supporting folks looking at business models and adoption issues from that lens, being able to have a forum to connect. So it's a half day virtual and conference. And then we're hosting on August 9th in Asian time zones, which means it's August 8th in the evening here in North America, digital identity across Asia to support folks who are working in Asia and Asian time zones, being able to collaborate and connect. And then we were thinking about doing an event on like Web3 and identity, and then the decentralized social network paper came out, and a whole flurry of activity happened around that. So Heidi and I, Heidi's the producer of IW with me, are collaborating with Radical Exchange, and they're hosting a two-day event August 16th and August 18th called Exploring Digital Identity for Decentralized Societies. I'm on my phone, so I'll figure out over the course of this getting links to all those into the chat.
Great. Thank you, Kalia. Genji, you have the floor.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, it's a new setup. Yes, I'm based in St. Louis, Midwest. Cybersecurity management and kind of the conjunction of management and technology right now. I've been dialing into these calls through Jeff O for about a month or so now, and I did just purchase the ticket for the IIW upcoming in November. So I'm excited to be here and to attend that. And right now, just kind of trying to stay informed as I navigate the current and upcoming environments here in the Midwest. So thank you.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Welcome. Okay, the queue is empty, so I'm going to just make a few other announcements. Tomorrow, for those of you who are interested, because I know this has come up a lot, the CCG is hosting a call on Web 5. I'm putting a link to this here. The link to the email announcement in case you haven't seen it. And I would suggest joining in on that. I'm looking forward to it. We were talking about trying to explore that as part of this call too, and I think it makes sense to get started to understand what that is all about. Next, Manu is on the call, so I might call on him to do this, but Digital Bazaar put out a paper and has put out a call on rendering verifiable credentials. And this is a topic that we've been talking about at VCHU. We actually have an open issue about displaying credentials here. I'll put this in the chat. Manu, do you want to just come on real briefly and just tell us about, this paper and, your thoughts behind it?
Sure. And thank you for the link. I was like scrambling to find it. Let me go ahead and do just a real quick screen share. I promise to keep this short. There's a new rebooting paper that I put forward around rendering verifiable credentials. Hopefully everyone can see this. The idea here is that there are many market verticals right now that are asking this question and have asked this question, right? So like Dimitri and Kerry raised this issue in the VCEDU issue tracker months ago. We have been discussing this for years. And so there's a suggestion that, hey, let's get a first iteration of this thing written down. So the idea here is that if you have a verifiable credential, you want to be able to express it in a variety of different ways, meaning visually, maybe through audio, and then maybe even through something like Braille. There are accessibility needs that come along with rendering these things. And we just need to make sure that we're inclusive when we display things. So there's a paper out called Rendering Verifiable Credentials. We're going to work on it at the next Rebooting the Web Trust 11 in The Hague in the Netherlands. Take a look at the paper. The idea is we're thinking of adding a field to the verifiable credentials data format that gives clients rendering instructions. So if you wanted to render something as visually rich as a university degree certificate or a identification card or a certificate of origin for a vehicle or produce, we're trying to provide a mechanism to do that that's easy to implement for everyone, built on standards, all that kind of stuff, while also ensuring that we do not disenfranchise people that have sight needs, hearing needs, or people that don't have sight and can't hear as well. How do we render these things for those individuals so that they can look at it? That's it.
That's great, Mario. That's really great. You know, and even beyond accessibility, which is critical, I mean, in audio VC, I hadn't even really considered how that could be used in all sorts of other circumstances, too. That's pretty neat. Okay, the queue is empty. The last thing I just wanted to mention, and feel free to queue yourself up if you have any other announcements, is that if you haven't joined our mailing list, it is a good place to go. We're going to start talking about PlugFest 2, and most of our discussions will happen on this mailing list. I'm going to put a link to it here in the chat. This is the archive page, and at the top of this page is a link for subscribe, which is a mail-to link, and you can add your email address. Okay. So our main topic for today, we can get started on that now, is the JFF VCHU PlugFest number 2. And what we're going to do today is just give you an overall conceptual understanding of, what the we're going to try to accomplish with PlugFest number 2, talk about some milestone dates, that we are working on, and then also gather your questions. We may not have all the answers today, but we'd love to queue up your questions and be able to get back to you on them. I'm going to introduce Sharon Liu, who, of course, is from JFF and ran PlugFest number one and is here to talk to us about PlugFest number two. Sharon, you want to take it from here?
Yes, thank you. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So it's great to meet all of you, or hello for those of you who I've already met. My name is Sharon Liu, and with an organization called Jobs for the Future. We are a national not-for-profit organization that's interested in promoting economic advancement. One of the things that is through the sort of transformation of the education and workforce systems. One of the things that we have been thinking a lot about is digital credentialing as a means of acknowledging the abilities and skills of individuals and how that might be foundational for a more equitable workforce and education pathway for anyone. So thank you for working with us on PlugFest 1. I thought, so just as a rundown, we've been having a number of, we have envisioned a number of PlugFests similar to how Anil John ran them with SVIP, but thinking about the collection and sharing of education and workforce credentials or credentials in those contexts. On June 9th, we had our first PlugFest. It was not really an interoperability demonstration as much as sort of an introduction to the idea of an interoperability demonstration where wallet implementers displayed a verifiable credentials in their wallet. Sort of moving forward, we have two more of these planned over the next year. As the first one wrapped up, we posed a question to the group, which is like, how should we order the next steps? And there was some amount of discussion on the listserv as well as sort of offline about focusing on issuing versus focusing on verifying. And I think we discussed as a group with the co-chairs of this group as well as some others. And I think ultimately we settled on focusing on this idea of issue as the next focus area. And I think there were just a couple of main reasons why. I mean, there are a lot of practical reasons for why you would pick one or the other. And at the end of the day, it came down to in addition to demonstrating interoperability of the credentials, JFF and our funders in this exercise have a real interest in establishing the utility of credentials for advancement. And in that case, the closer that we can get to the use of real credentials in a live production environment, and the more we can demonstrate that use of verifiable credentials actually impacts the lives of the populations that we are concerned with. And what that means is that in the verification step, it is a little bit more than a wallet displaying a green check mark. What we want to demonstrate is that actually the meaning of, you know, all of the metadata in contained within the verifiable credential itself has utility for the person holding the credential as they pursue their additional opportunities. And this will take us some time to cultivate the kind of use cases that we think would demonstrate this. And so in order to buy ourselves some time and to build up to this, we thought, let's focus on issuer next. So the exercise for PlugFest 2 will be to display in your wallet multiple credentials issued by multiple parties. And I think the number that we had picked was 2. In order to, the technical, I guess, interop for PlugFest 2 is display 2 different credentials, 2 credentials issued by 2 different, credential issuers. And, we're not going to pick for you. I think what we're not trying to do is force you into a different protocol, but just using the protocol that you already, your wallet can already use. We'll get into this a little bit later about self-selecting into 3 camps, but I just want to say that's the general overview. Are there any questions about that before I continue with some of the, like, logistics? Okay.
Yeah, there's no one in the queue right now. So, Manu's in the queue. We do have, go ahead, Manu.
Most of that sounds pretty straightforward, Sharon. I mean, you know, we'll be focusing on issuing, on getting stuff into a wallet and displaying from two different issuers. That feels straightforward. Is anyone in the community allowed to provide infrastructure? So specifically, I'm thinking about, we just launched this Chappie.io site that allows you to issue into digital wallets using the Chappie and VC API protocols. We are going to add multiple different issuer backends so that anyone supporting the VC API issuance protocol can issue credentials. Are you looking for that kind of infrastructure right now to smooth things along, or are you kind of like, let the community decide whatever they want to do? Any thoughts on that? What about infrastructure here?
Okay. So, that's a great question. And I was hoping to punt that until a later week, but I think what we'll do is we'll do this in two parts. We'll do two separate calls that will occur simultaneously. One is obviously for participation as a wallet implementer, but separately, we're also going to do a call for issuer. So I think that is when we're going to start taking a look at what infrastructure is already out there and probably lean on some of the tools that you all have already developed to make sure that there's a short menu regardless of which of the issuing protocols you select.
Right, David Chadwick, you're in the queue.
Yeah, so Sharon, if I understood you correctly, you were saying to pass Plugfest 2, you need two of the participants to issue credentials to a wallet. So two different issuers to issue credentials to one wallet. And does that mean that the participant just has to have the wallet? Or does the participant have to be just an issuer or a wallet and an issuer? So how many parties need to be in as a minimum in order to pass the Plugfest?
Dimitri, did you want to answer that question? Is that why you popped in?
Yeah.
Okay.
The quick answer is no, you can definitely be just a wallet or just an issuer to participate. So as Sharon mentioned, we're going to put out the call for both. We recognize that most of the participants have both a wallet and an issuer, but if you have just the one, that's totally fine. Sharon mentioned, and as we'll discuss further, we recognize that there are at least three and more protocol camps, the W3C, CCG, VCAPI, OpenID Connect, Foundation's OpenID Connect family of issuing protocols, and DIF's DIDCOM presentation exchange, plus others. So if you're just a wallet vendor, you don't have an issuer, we will provide two or more issuers within the protocol family that you can show interoperability with.
Okay, thank you. On that score, Spruce and ourselves, we're working on a profile for issuing using the OpenID Connect family as part of our NGI Atlantic project. So we're happy to make this profile publicly available to anybody who else in the group would like to implement it and join us.
That's wonderful to hear. That would be very helpful.
Great, thank you. David C?
That's me again. I did a Q plus on the CCG, you know, the chat, and then I did it. I put my hand up here, and I didn't realize that putting my hand up added me to the queue. So you can.
Oh, I didn't either. That's good to know. Thank you. Yeah. All right, Deb, you have the floor, please.
So I think this is maybe clarification and a question. In order to make sure we're making this central to the learner, the wallet holder, should we be using language that is about some, you know, the wallet holder can accept into their wallet credentials that have been issued from more than one party, just to you know, make sure that we're focusing on that individual's empowerment. And therefore also, I think that, you know, even though being able to transfer credentials from one wallet to another, it may not technically be the one of the requirements for this PlugFest. If a person is able to do that, that would be another way of displaying credentials from more than one issuer in the same wallet. Is that right?
Say that last part again. I feel like I maybe lost the train of thought on that.
So, I guess I'm just saying there could be, you know, a person has a wallet and two different issuers give them offers for credentials that they can take those offers in the same wallet. That's one way of getting two credentials from two different issues into the same wallet. Another way would be for a person to be able to move a credential from another wallet into this wallet that has a first credential in it. So even though that might not be a requirement, it would be another way of displaying two credentials from different issuers in the same wallet.
Yes-ish. We can, I think that's really interesting part of what we'd like to see as part of the third one, but taking the incremental small steps, I feel like that we're just going to focus on whether a wallet can accept two credentials.
Right, right. Yeah. And I get that that's the scope for this, but if someone wanted to do it, as a credential brought in from another wallet, I presume that would also meet the criteria of two credentials from different issuers in the same wallet.
We can talk about that. We can talk about that. I think that it's slightly different, but you're right. Functionally, it has the same outcome for the individual, and we might want to consider that. But we haven't specifically scoped the technical ask yet. So as we do that, we'll definitely discuss that.
Thanks.
I was going to say the same answer, Sharon. I mean, as part of PlugFest 1, we had some stretch goals. And that's something we could talk about, that being a stretch goal for this one. So I'm saving that question so we can talk about it. Simone.
Yes. Hello, everyone. I just wanted to emphasize the fact that given that we're focusing on the issuers, we would be very eager to onboard issuers that are not natively in already issuing VCs. And so I'm referring to the traditional badging platforms that are issuing the millions of credentials now, and that with the advent of OB3, you know, we'll now be able to issue verifiable credentials. And so we very much look forward to, I guess, encourage them to join this PlugFest and engage with this work so that ultimately, you know, we connect them into this journey around issuing verifiable credentials. As much as, you know, we want to look at wallet providers, how they can, you know, a credential can be exchanged between wallets or wallets that need to show the ability to receive from two different issuers, I like to see the issue from the other angle. So I'd like to see, you know, traditional issuers like being able to issue into, you know, two different kinds of wallets. So maybe that's, you know, I'm biased, but that's my, you know, initial perspective.
Armani, you're in the queue twice.
Sorry, I was taking notes on which questions to add. So these are just questions with no need to answer them right now. The first one is whether or not DID authentication is going to be required in the protocol. So when you you know, go to an issuer and you want it to issue something to you, are we going to include DID auth or not? And then the second question is, Sharon, you mentioned that there would be maybe multiple types of verifiable credentials in PlugFest 2. I'm just wondering what those would be. Would they just be two variations on an open badge, or are we looking for something else, so on and so forth?
I think that I'll just quickly try to answer the second one by saying that I think we're going to, if we can, still use an open badge in the version 3, which is, I think, why Carrie brought her question up to Marty earlier. So we'll take a look into that and then share more when we know.
Queue's empty right now. Manu, I think that we probably are going to do data auth requirements. I'm also just like noting that down so we can get our FAQ together and answer it later.
Okay, thanks.
I guess
right now. Oh, go ahead, Chair. Sorry.
Well, I was going to talk about like timing and logistics, but if you feel like there's other things that we should talk about, because those are just, you know, timing and logistics.
Yeah, I do have our list of dates. If you want to go over the list of dates, I know you have those too. I thought maybe we could back into them starting with November.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we haven't figured out exactly what this is going to be like. Obviously, some of you participated in the first one and I think learned that the like in-person and hybrid skills like need improvement. So if you want to send me an email separately about your suggestions for how one might sort of curate that kind of experience for anyone who is whether in person or online, send me an email and let me know. But overall, I think what we're aiming for is November 17th, which is the day before IIW starts. And I know that several of us will be there in person. And so that is the root of my, like, how can we improve this experience for everyone question. Carrie, do you want to add something to that?
I'm just going to put that date in the chat for everybody. That'd be November 16th.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, it's whatever day it is that is before IIW starts. I'm not great with dates.
I got it.
So, yep. Okay, cool. So we want to give as much lead time as possible before that. And so what we're going to do is on or around August 15th, we're going to do the open call for wallet implementers to participate. Simultaneously, we'll do the sort of review and open call for issuers to participate still on or around August 15th. So that's sort of the date to note, and we'll try to have our sort of participation documents ready by then. They're not quite ready now because I think we still have a few things that we want to work out. Ahead of that, though, we're going to try to have like a more technical AMA on August 8th, and then I guess Dimitri has volunteered kindly to go over the three different protocols at some point, I think TBD. And that's it from my end. Carrie, is there anything that I've missed?
No, that was right. We wanted to provide the overall, our overall approach and these dates, and then, see if there's any other questions. See what else you think you need to know, that will help us inform you. So, David, you're in the queue. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is just a question about the badge from the first interop. Because I got an email saying you wanted to issue the badge from your issuer to my wallet. And I said, well, that's actually interop two. So, it's not possible now. And we're just discussing how it might be possible, by November. So my question is, how do we get the badge for interop one prior to being able to get it into our wallets from your issuer?
Okay, I'm going to let someone else answer that question, but I will say one other logistics point that I forgot that you prompted me on, David, which is not everyone that participated the first round was able to do it, and that's okay. And not every wallet implementer was able to produce a demo, right? And so what we want to do is continue to make this as open as possible. And so for anyone who did not attempt to participate in the first plugfest, getting the JFF badge into their wallet is sort of our ticket to entry for the second one. But it's going to be slightly different for you if you participated in the first one, and I will turn it over to Dimitri to say more words about that.
Thanks, Sharon. So good question, David. So first of all, we're still working on issuing the badges for everyone. since we have such a plethora of different DID methods and so on. But to answer your question, we were hoping just to email it to you, right? And then you can get it into your wallets however you got the badge during the Plugfest. So we absolutely recognize that issuing into a wallet is what we're going to be testing for November. Many people aren't there yet, so we're just going to email the badges.
That's great. I mean, will there be JWT badges or not? Because
Yes, so we'll be issuing JWT or linked data credentials, depending on your preference that you filled out on the spreadsheet.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much, Dimitri.
Awesome. And John, before I call on you to take the floor, I just want to make one correction that I got the IIW date wrong. IAW runs November 15th through the 17th, so we're looking on meeting Monday the 14th. Okay, John?
You probably aren't really prepared to answer this question, but is there a preference on a participant being an issuer or a receiver, or can a participant even be both, potentially?
That's a good question. Sharon, is that something we want to answer now or just queue that for later? I mean, I would think you could be both.
I think you could be both, but the key is that it has to be two different ones. So if you are in any capacity participating as a wallet implementer, you can issue to yourself, but that doesn't really count as interop, really.
Yeah, I kind of actually made that assumption that you could issue to yourself. Okay. But, didn't even bother asking that because I assumed that wouldn't be interop.
Cool. So
yeah, we did that as part of Plugfest 1, but for Plugfest 2, we really want to encourage more interoperability. Sorry, go ahead, Sharon. I overspoke.
No, I was just going to say more on that later.
Okay. Joe Adele, you have the floor.
Hi. So unfortunately, we weren't able to participate in the first Plugfest. I was just wondering, is there a way that we could get either the email or whatever we need to kind of pass the entry requirement to participate in Plugfest 2?
Yes. We don't have a formal process for that, but effectively it will be that you send us the preferred method of having a VC issued to you, and we issue it to you, you display it. We'll have a little bit more detail about that later, but I will definitely note to send you a specific email, and we'll also we'll put like instructions on the listserv as well.
Awesome. Thanks.
And you know, for Plugfest 1, we had a webpage that we hosted at BC Edu, so we'll do the same thing for Plugfest 2. And we can get that out there to everyone. And feel free to use the mailing list to post more questions, and we will take it from there. Right now, the queue is still empty. Does anybody else have any other questions? Manu.
So coordination, are we going to coordinate through a mixture of VCEDU calls and Plugfest-specific calls, both? We'll shift to one versus the other. What are the thoughts there?
I kind of want to punt this question to Carrie, but I think mostly we'll try to coordinate on the VCEDU, mostly because... Okay, so like it's kind of hard with multiple strands of conversations going on, and we want to sort of centralize all the conversations to the extent that we can and make sure that there are no real offline conversations, that everything is open.
Yeah, exactly. Probably what we'll do in terms of email communication is use the VC edu mailing list. So that, we can, communicate in a place where we can, look up the emails. I mean, it's great that we have that archive. And also so that those who aren't participating in the Plugfest can learn from our questions and what we're doing. We had a lot of great questions that came up during Plugfest 1. So most of it will be there. And at VC Edu, we will have some meetings. I'm guessing Sharon will probably have like one or two like cohort meetings if we need to. And we'll see. We'll figure that out as we go.
Yeah, I think that's right.
All right. I don't see any other questions in here. I'm super amped about this. I mean, we did a lot with PlugFest 1. There were a lot of new people who were introduced to VC Edu and Open Badges, and then we had a lot of Open Badges folks who were interested in learning more about VCs. And so I'm excited to see more and more of that as we go. I mean, I think, you know, these kinds of initiatives have been really very helpful and useful. And each time we do it, I think they get even better. Phil Long, you're in the queue.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was just wondering, it occurred to me that one of the things that might, it's not a technical thing per se, but it would be helpful or be interesting at least to see if we could invite a couple of people who are sort of in the discipline area of being ethnologists interested in this kind of changing social space to participate and give them and encourage them to reach out to the different teams if they have questions and such, with the goal of getting them to write up from their ethnocentric perspective the transition that seems to be implied by this approach of sharing credentials about each other and the community that's involved. So I'm just wondering if there might be a couple of journalists or ethnographers that would be interested in this space if we reached out to them, and whether that would be a welcome activity.
If you have recommendations on people who you think might be good for this, please definitely send them. I think one of the things that we have been doing is JFF is partnered with a couple of different organizations for this project overall, like this using data and digital credentialings project. And two of the partners, I think, you know, Phil, are Brookings as well as Digital Promise. And one of the key things that Brookings has been working on is how to describe the impact of using learning and employment records, and whether this kind of credential like portability that we are driving towards on a technical level actually can have impact on populations of that we are interested in. So there will be some of that going on sort of on a programmatic level, probably not as much on a technical level, but I think you're right that it would be an interesting conversation to try to bring those together.
Yeah, I know one person that's a Pulitzer fellow whose area of specialty has been more in the applications of AI to job and workflow processes at NYU. That might be a candidate for this kind of thing. But I'll send the group a note.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. I don't see anyone else in the queue. And I think we've gone over the questions that we have now. Sharon, or actually I should call in Dimitri or Simone, do you have anything else you'd like to add to while we're here?
For my side, I think, reiterating what I was saying earlier, I think it's important that we look at issuers that are sort of tangential to this community, so the ones that are currently issuing, you know, not verifiable credentials. This is the opportunity for them to onboard and leveraging, you know, a tiny pool of OBB3. So if in this community there are people that are in those organizations, we'll send out a call for issuers, but certainly I'm sure you may have questions around how you engage with those three protocols already. So that's all fair in terms of starting to ask those questions and see how, you know, what's the path to onboarding. So definitely, you know, be vocal about that. Engage Araby.
Thank you, Simone. I'm going to just call in Nate out of order and then he's following up to Simone's question.
Thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to mention some related times to this and support from OneEdTech, formerly IMS. The IMS quarterly meeting will be right around the same time in mid-November. I'm not sure on the exact dates. And that is the goal time for, I think, the finalization of the Open Badges V3 and CLR 2.0. Specifications, and also in addition, leading up to that, there is like a group of OneEdTech members who are having some kind of marketing coordination push to those existing issuers for 2.0 and helping create courses on how to upgrade from 2.0 to 3.0. So I'm sure there will be plenty of opportunity to connect these efforts as things move forward, but there probably will be some good support for doing what Simone is. I'm suggesting getting some of those existing Open Badges 2.0 issuers on board.
Great. Actually, that's why I queued myself up too. So John, I'm going to call on you in 1 second. We were thinking about reaching out to issuers. So Nate, if you don't mind putting out the call at EdTech, OneEdTech, to see if anyone is interested and have them reach out to us specifically, those who may not be on these calls but are on those. We'd love to hear from them so they could be part of this Plugfest specifically before then.
That sounds good. And Marty, I'll enlist you to try and do the same.
All right. Thank you both.
Hi. So my question is, might be leading into a logistical one for Sharon. I was taking a quick glance over the previous participant cohorts and trying to see if there was going to be enough people who shared the same protocol stack that we use to create like a decent enough number of people to exchange. And I think that there's a total of 3. So we would be, you know, unless it expands, you know, some people will have like a large group of interop participants and others will be quite prescribed. I guess that's okay as long as I guess there's a minimum size of 3 in a group. For a moment I was alarmed as to whether or not there would be even enough.
That might make it easier, honestly, but you know, hopefully as we put out the open call for more implementers that you will also have more friends in your group.
And just to follow up on that answer too, yeah, exactly. I mean, this is part of what we're going to work out, where we're going to sort of be somewhat flexible in this planning process so we can see how that turns out. Yes, hopefully there will be enough, or hopefully we can make it so there are enough or come up with some other way of going about it. But we'll get there. It's a good question. Okay. Does anyone have anything else? If not, I will give us all about 9 more minutes and we'll call this the end of the call for now and then we will follow up soon. On August 8th, we have the AMA scheduled for this. So we'll be doing some work over the next few weeks to prepare for that. Feel free to reach out and ask any questions and help us get the word out so we can get as many people participating as possible. Sharon, do you have anything else before we close?
Nope, that's it. Just send us questions, comments, things that we may have missed, and we really look forward to working with everyone again soon.
All right. That's great. Thank you, everyone. Have a good week.